We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and honestly, it's been too long because today I welcome back to the show Naveed Mologai. But in my defense, Naveed, you're a busy man, and I'm really glad you found some time to talk all things Barça B and La Masia with me today.
Of course, Dan, it's good to be back.
Again, it's been a while since we heard Naveed, but the good news is that when you're dealing with teenagers and younger players, they can only do so much growth in 1 year or 2 years or however long it's been since Naveed came back. In truth, though, they do improve exponentially, and some players improve quicker than others, and some improve slower than others. So we do have today to talk about some redemption stories, some diamonds in the rough, some players that we may not have been as high on the last time we spoke again. I think it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. But I think before we begin to talk about any players, especially with Barcelona B, which is where we begin, we have to talk about the man in charge, and that's García Pimienta. I know you're a big fan of his, it goes without saying, but when it comes to the injuries, when it comes to the call-ups, when it comes to the success that they had getting all the way to the semifinal of the promotion playoffs, Naveed, García Pimienta, I think it's about as perfect a season as you could possibly get, right? I mean, if you were giving him a grade of 1 to 100, it'd be about 92, 93?
Yeah, about that. Yeah. 90, 95 maybe. Because honestly, it's impossible to even... say it's his fault that they didn't go through, because his top scorer and an absolutely best player against Murcia, Raymond, he was the one who was supposed to score the last penalty to kick them in the final, to get them into the final, and he didn't. So it's like he couldn't possibly have done more. And as you say, like especially with the promotions of some of his, at least one of his key players for almost the entire season, and as well all the injuries. Like Barça B is incredibly injury plagued, actually, like on a regular basis. The fact that this was his first game of the season where he didn't have a registered under 19 player in the lineup. He's done an incredible job with making everything work again, and not just like in terms of performance, but the fact that we see every single player getting a chance with the first team, he performs basically, and that's because he's been trained and like he's gone through a very meticulous system of training and playing, so that they can reach that top level that is needed for them when they have to take the step from Segunda B to, whether it be Copa del Rey or La Liga or Champions League.
Yeah, to add some context to what you were saying, Conrad de la Fuente was called up to the first team bench for most of the first half of the season or the fall, and Conrad has even spoken out and said that being in between the two teams and not really playing, just traveling with the first team, wasn't great for him. And now we've seen, even more recently, he's been banging in goals finally, that he's getting regular games again, 6 goals on the season. So I think Conrad did put his season back on track. The other one that was lost for the call-up was Elias Moriba, who was called up in the spring, obviously, and I don't need to tell anyone who listens to the show regularly about Elias Moriba. We get into him a lot, but yeah, the injury crisis that you alluded to as well. I have the full list here. It's Santi Ramos-Mingo, Igor Gomez, the poor right-back spot, which was snake-bitten all season, Andres Solano, Sergio Rosanas, and even converted midfielder turned right-back Alvaro Sanz, and then Alejandro Balde, who we'll talk about later. Again, we're not going to do Balde just yet. And then Oriol Busquets, Hondo Orellana for some, Ferran Sarsanaitis, Lucas De Vega, Gustavo Mai, Hiroki Abe, and Nils Mortimer. All of those players all missed multiple games in a row. So we're not just talking one match out or one match or whatever. That's all multiple matches in a row where Garcia Pimienta knew they wouldn't have them for multiple weeks in a row at this point in the season. So yeah, that's the injury crisis you mentioned. And you also mentioned the fact that in recent seasons with Barca B, there's been better veterans now this year than in previous years. Ray Minaj, as much as he did miss that penalty, he has 14 goals on the year to lead the line as the reference point to number 9. Mateus Pereira, after basically being lost in the wilderness the last year and a half, or even with Juventus, he's kind of been found as a player. He's been fine. And then Roger Riera was brought in and just kind of helped solidify an injury play back line. Okay, so that's all the stuff we had to get into with the details, because now we're going to start talking about the players. Nico Gonzalez, I think, would be the standout player, and I think he'll be the cover art. He'll be the reason I think people tune into this podcast, and the player that he once was. So I don't think it's crazy to say that no player in the academy has seen his or her stock rise as much as Nico's in the last 8 months. From being the son of friend Gonzalez to being a promising box-to-box midfielder with a bit of attacking flair in him, physically now he looks different. I've seen it reported he's 83 kilos now, which is 182 pounds. But still quite nimble, but also a change of position to the pivot, and now he's being whispered as a potential star with a capital S, a star. And that's pretty remarkable stuff, right? I mean, I'm not even asking you to argue whether or not you think he's like the highest riser, but I mean, what have you seen just been the change in the last 16 months or even 4 months with him?
Yeah, I was having some discussions with other people who follow the youth teams, like 2 years ago, maybe 1.5 years ago, 2.5 years ago, maybe even. And we pretty much agreed on Nico Gonzalez. We were certain that he had lots of potential, technically extremely gifted, also a very, very smart player. I mean, he's been known as a very, very, very brainy kid. But we were all pretty worried about his physique. And I actually saw it firsthand against Tottenham in the youth league at the Mini Study in 2018 in the group stages, where he was just absolutely run over by the physically. Actually, he was also run over in the first game that they played in London, which I didn't see live, but I saw live at the Mini Study, where he was just absolutely run over by these physically well-trained English midfielders, and he just looked heavy, and like he was just out of place, and he also got a lot of stick from the coach, Danny Silva. Of course, that was a special year for him. He had jumped straight from Cadet A to Hunel A, mm-hmm. so physically it was very different for him, and of course being thrown out there against these 18, 19-year-olds, like physical beasts, as this 16-year-old cadet player, it's of course extremely difficult, and it wouldn't be like a reason to judge him like negatively. But we saw throughout that season that he had a lot of potential, but that he should work on his physique a lot, and that he should get in much better shape. And that we already saw a glimpse of it last season, where he stayed with Hunel A. And did pretty well. Actually, did good. So this was his first B season, and he started a bit on the bench. Was used as a central midfielder. Jandro was playing that pivot, and he was in great shape. Jandro was by far the best Barca B player in the first months of the season before he started getting a lot of. Nico was playing, and he was very good. I mean, there was no doubt that he had grown a lot throughout the summer. and he was even playing at right back because they had so many injuries at right back. So he even played right back for two or three games, I think, where he was also very good. So right from the start of the season, he was very promising. Some people even dared to like be a bit edgy and be like, when Elias was getting more and more call ups of the first team, some people were like, arguably as well, they said that that Nico had actually been playing better than Elias this season, but he just continued as soon as Elias went up and Jandro got injured. Nico just immediately became the most important midfield player, and he was moved back to central defensive midfield to the pivot, where he has been playing in the academy. He has played that position a lot. It's definitely a natural position for him. He doesn't play it the same way as Jandro. He's not a playmaking pivot. Jandro is like extremely good with the long balls and the passes between the lines, but Nico is just extremely calm on the ball, and he physically, like, you don't get past him. So he has a lot of abilities on the ball, which makes him a valuable defensive midfielder. And like, he's just continued, and he's been not had any injuries as such. And then throughout the season, Koeman has really noticed him whenever he's watched Barca B. So Koeman has had an eye on him, and of course now it doesn't seem like he's going to continue on the first team bench. But I mean, the groundwork has definitely been laid, and it's not just the first team coach that has been impressed. I mean, he's been given an extreme sign of confidence by the club, like as if he's been signed for the first team, you know, with the photo shoot. I mean, it was signed by the president together with the president, and
right.
he's been given an extremely big release clause. Besides the fact that he'll be in the first team dynamic for next season, so we get a preseason. And I don't know. I want to see more than just him being in trainings, because I think that he'll be needed if we don't get a proper backup for Busquets. I think that we could play him, and I hope that he will show that he has the level to be exactly that for next season, because I think that he'd be great in such a role.
Yeah. There's the wrap on Nico Gonzalez. So we have so many players to get through. Navid, I think we're going to pick the pace up a little bit. So we almost go back and forth a little bit about the players that I want to talk about, because for Barca B, basically the next list. So I want to mention all the players that I think could see time with the first team next season. And then you could add maybe a few lines on each and how likely you could see them in the first team. Play of it almost like a game of Jeopardy or what have you. So, or any kind of game. So Alex Caiado was the first on that list. 8 goals, 3 assists for him in a free role. The question is, can he adapt to being a bit more positionally stable, stay out on the right wing? There are comparisons to Trincao. People say, hey, give Caiado Trincao's minutes. But not only is Caiado a little older, he's also an entirely different player. So I don't know if that's a like-for-like comparison. He was also injured on and off for about a third of the season this year, yet he still was easily, I think, the best player in the third division across any team that I had seen. He had his stinkers, like, in the playoff, but Alex Caiado he was the best player on the team. He was the captain, all sorts of goals. We already talked about Jandro, so I don't think we need to rehash that. I already mentioned Conrad. And then the other two, the left back, Alejandro Balde, whether out of need or just because he's just about ready. And then Arnau Camas, who came back from loan this season. He was at Olot, so, I mean, you almost thought that he was in the complete wilderness, and yet he's turned into a pretty good center back. And then, of course, Iñaki Peña and Arnaut Tanas, the two goalkeepers who were in the first team dynamic and traveled with them for so much of the year as a third and fourth goalkeeper. So not only from that list, do you believe that we could all see time, they could all see time with the first team? And is there anybody else from Barca B that you would want to add to the list for next season?
If you love listening to us here on the Barcelona Podcast, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard with Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay. So Collado, he's definitely going to be a registered first team player for next season.
Right.
Whether or not he'll stay or go on loan, it's unknown. We'll see. I mean, he'll be with the team in preseason and hopefully impress. Of course, he's not the exact same type of player as Trincao, but I think people are more like thinking about him just being in the squad instead of him. Mm-hmm. Not that he'd be a good right wing back in. Yeah, like that's the position that Trincao has been playing in desperate times throughout games. But he could definitely replace him in the squad at least. I think if there's any player who's deserved it the most, it's Collado, because he's had three seasons where he's been among the absolute best B players. Last season he arguably was the best, and he's been the same this season. And in those three seasons, he's played as a right central midfielder in two seasons, like in the 19-20 season. He was a left winger for most part of last season, and this season he's been a right winger. So it just tells you everything about his versatility as well. He can be used in a lot of different ways. So if he can just keep his level, if he can keep a good level, I think that he'll be very useful. And you said stinkers. I mean, I think he only had one stinker. Unfortunately, he chose to
the playoff.
To have it in the playoff.
Yeah, I agree.
unfortunately for Barca B. He'll definitely be at least in the first team throughout the summer. And I hope that he'll stay. He really deserves it. Alejandro Balde. He's a bit of a wild card at the moment, because he's very close to be like a first team player, like being the first team dynamics. Yeah. But he has, I think that it's a bit too soon. I mean, I think it's definitely too soon for him to be a first team player. That's for sure. He still needs to develop that. He's like 17 and shows regular inconsistencies as well as regular, like regular top level. He shows that as well, but he needs to become a regular first at Barca B. He's like, Pimienta has been mixed. He's been like switching between using him and Mika Marmol. Mika is decent, but he's nowhere near first team potential. For me, Balde needs to become a regular at Barca B and play more and learn a lot more. But there is talk of him being in the first team dynamic for next season. And he's also gotten Jorge Mendes as his agent. So I think that helps him as well in ways that we are not aware of. Mm-hmm. But it also tells you that he's a player with a lot of projection. And one day we will hopefully see it. For now, I think that he'll, at best, he'll be in first team projection, first team dynamics for next season. But I don't think that he'll be the first backup after Alba if we sell Firpo. But yeah, let's see what happens with the first team left back situation. It's a bit complicated at the moment, as it seems right now. But yeah, I think that at this time next year he'll have developed, like continued his development, and also gotten his first team debut. I hope so, and shown that he's worth being promoted for the summer of 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That just a final note on Balde. Yeah, he had that dislocated shoulder to start the season, and I think not getting the proper preseason for Barca B. You know, if you think that not getting a preseason for the first team players can throw off the rhythm for a season, it's double when you're 17 years old. So the injury there, then he was also injured again in, was it 2 months ago for a few weeks, a little bit of a setback, not with the shoulder, but a different injury. So yeah, the hot and cold for all these young players certainly is not helpful to their development. But one guy who did stay healthy, I guess the final one, if you have any other players, would be Arnau Camas, who was, he was the bedrock at the back for all the injuries. Arnau Camas was healthy all season long. I thought he was, for me, he was much, much better in the fall. That's why I thought he would maybe going to get a call up when there was the injury crisis. But instead, Oscar Mingueza, who you and I had talked about before, kind of came out of nowhere as the elder statesman on Barca B, but a player that we never really saw having that first team potential. But yet here's Mingueza taking that spot instead. But that said, Arnau Camas is still, I mean, he still had a good season, but I'm not sure about the center back depth with maybe a guy who you've heard of. Have you heard of Eric Garcia, Navid? Of course, I say that in jest if anyone follows Navid on Twitter. But if he were to return to Catalonia, it seems like a lot of center backs there for Arnau Camas to even break through next year. So we may not be speaking about next year, but we might be speaking about a long-term depth option.
Yeah, he's definitely shown to be a solid player. And from what I know, he's also a very good, a great professional. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a very serious player. So he's someone that Pimienta will be very happy to be leading the back line for next season, together with Roger Riera. I hope that he sticks around as well. And Mingo Ramos, who also, he also did pretty well. I don't think we should rule out first team involvement for him next season either, because he's a left center back and mm-hmm. he can still grow a lot as well. But Arnau, yeah, I think that we perhaps we won't see him next season, but he's definitely a player that we might be hearing more of in the next years. And he didn't have a great spring, but he played one of his absolute best games against Murcia in the playoff. He was except for Iñaki Peña, he was Barca B's man of the match. But yeah, Iñaki Peña, it's definitely worth talking about, because he'll become Ter Stegen's backup. I mean, that's pretty much for certain. So he'll be a first team player. The question with regards to him is whether or not the whomever is going to be first team coach is going to bet on him for the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
Whether or not that coach will believe that he'll be ready for that. Maybe he'll get the first game or the first two game. But yeah, it's a bit of a tricky situation, because all the other second goalkeepers that we've had for quite a few years now, when they came to Barca, so we have to go way back. I mean, okay, with Pinto, with Pinto, he was one of the best goalkeepers in Spain already when he joined. With Ter Stegen, he was a very, very talented goalkeeper with several years in the Bundesliga. With Neto, he's also an established La Liga goalkeeper. So all these, they were very qualified for being, in terms of the level that they had played in. But yeah, Iñaki Peña, he's coming from with only Segunda B experience. So he might not be bet on. And I think it would be a bit of a shame, but he's also, a bit unlucky because maybe a loan to the next best league, to Segunda A, would maybe help him help his development more. But of course, you don't say no to be Barca's second goalkeeper. But in fact, I think that Barca B's regular goaltender for next season, Arnau Tenas, I think that he has the better chances of challenging Ter Stegen one day. I think he has a higher ceiling. Although we are still yet to see him reach the same level at Barca B as Iñaki Peña. Iñaki Peña was also a bit slow to become. It took him a bit of a while to become a regular, undisputed regular at Barca B, but when he became that, he just showed the talent that we've all known that he's had. But Arnau Tenas, especially his couple of years at Junel A, he's been like absolutely outstanding, and he was absolutely outstanding for the Spanish under 17s who won the Euros a couple of years ago in Armenia, and I think that he has like more than first team potential. Like, he's captain potential for the first team.
Yeah.
He's an absolute monster. He's a bit small for a goalkeeper actually, but I hope that he'll compensate for that. He's going to be very interesting to follow next season for Barca B. I'm really looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, Tenas to me has some of the quickest reflexes. So he is smaller, but he has some of the fastest reflexes I've ever seen for a youth goalkeeper. And it is interesting because he and Peña are just, they're different keepers. They have different styles. They both have the ability to play out of the back, sure. Tenas, I think, is a bit better in that regard, or potentially has the best potential in that regard. But Peña, I think, just because of his length, he profiles as more of a traditional shot stopper, but Tenas's reflexes get him out of a lot of trouble in the way that Ter Stegen, at his best, gets out of trouble. Ter Stegen's also pretty tall. But other than all the players we just mentioned, before I move on to Juvenil A, is there anybody else on Barca B that you just even want to mention in passing for a few words, or should we move on?
I think not specifically. No, I think it would be good to spend some time elsewhere. Otherwise, like, one detail about Arnau Tenas is I don't think that technically he's better than Iñaki Peña with his feet, but mentally I think he's better for a goalkeeper building it up from the back, because he's absolutely fearless.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very much like Victor Valdes. I mean, even Ter Stegen, like, he's so good with his feet, but sometimes he just hoofs it because I don't know why. I mean, he's not played it out of, we've just not been playing out of the back as much as we used to, and Ter Stegen hasn't, which I find a bit weird. But Tenas is exactly like Valdes. He's also a madman like Valdes. I mean, he's a crazy character, and we saw it in the youth league final against Chelsea a couple of years ago, where he made a massive mistake with his feet and cost a goal. But like the minute after, he did the exact same thing, and he even made the exact same error, but he just continued, and he's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that this mentality is what's going to get him far. If he'll make it at the top level, it's the mentality that's going to help him a lot.
Yeah, one of my
I'm not even questioning the fact that I think that he has a higher ceiling than Peña, only because of this mentality. I mean, that's going to give him the edge, I think.
Yeah, one of my tells for youth goalkeepers on how crazy they may be or what they're capable of between the ears is he wears the t-shirts. So he wears the short sleeves more than he does his long sleeves. And that's the tell, that when I look through Tenas pictures or when you watch him in the youth league, when you're playing with short sleeves as a goalkeeper, it says something about how crazy you're willing to be. But all right, that said, let's calm things down with the Juvenil A's. So that's going down one level from Barca B. Now, unfortunately for them as a team, they may have to settle for second in their division behind Espanyol. They've also seen a change of manager in February, going from Frank Artiga, who went to the UAE, to Sergi Mila. To me, though, Navid, I still, obviously, regardless of where they finish, regardless of who the manager may be, and I think Sergi Mila is trying to figure things out, because the best players for this Juvenil A squad this season were the players that were getting called up to the Barca B team. Namely, Jose Marsa, the captain at the U19 level, the center back, slash right back, slash left back, who can play all over, played 8 times for Barca B this year. And then you have Ilacha Comas, who started with Barca B a bit more. He kind of has to work on his finishing touch, but he is, I think, maybe the best creator, the best kind of free roll attacking midfielder, picks the ball up and then watch him go, energy, a lot of different things he can do with the ball. And then Gabi, 16 years old, but 17 matches played on the year, contributed to a goal every 116 minutes, 6 goals and 5 assists himself, playing both as a defensive midfielder, a box-to-box midfielder, attacking midfielder. You ask where him, wherever he can go in the midfield, Gabi goes there. 2 appearances for Barca B as well as a 16-year-old, where I don't think he looked out of place. And then the final four would be Angel Alarcón, the 16-year-old left winger, who can also play as a striker and a right winger. 4 appearances for Barca B for him, because I think he's just, as attacking prowess, that's what Garcia Pimienta needed. And I think he added a little bit of that. So, I mean, Gabi, Alarcón, and Akomash, all 16 years old, and then Marca at 18. I mean, well, 17 to 18 this year. So those four, as much as Juvenal A, and remember, Juvenal A is usually 18, 19 years old. Juvenal B is 17 to 18 years old, and sometimes even 19. And then Cadet A is 16. And yet, so for Gabi and Alarcón and Akomash, it's not crazy that they could play for Cadet A at the moment, and yet all three of those debuted for Barca B this year. So as much as we have all these other players to talk about between Juvenal and Juvenal B, I think the buck kind of stops with these three plus Marca, because, I mean, they're clearly above the rest of their contemporaries at that age group.
Yes, I would say that as well. I would add Diego Almeida, center back.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just go through them, because they're a bit different. Also in their development, I think like all five are great, but there's just one of them who's simply a class or two or three above. And he's shown it all season as well, like both in terms of regular performances, but also in terms of general potential, perhaps. I mean, Gavi.
Yeah, you're speaking of the one from Real Betis, the one from the Andalusian player. Yeah,
I'm speaking about Gavi, Pablo Páez Gavi, Pablo Páez Gavira, but his nickname is Gavi. Absolutely amazing player. He's definitely the La Masia player that people can expect the most from in the next years. If he got a first team preseason, he would impress already, I think. It's not a long shot. I think he would do that, actually. But you said he didn't look out of place at Barca B this season.
I don't think so.
A couple of games, he was one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah, I was underselling him.
He's a terrifying talent to face, and we should be very lucky that he has continued to develop that all of us who have followed the youth teams have hoped and prayed that he would develop. I remember he became like a household name in the 2015-16 La Liga Promises, where he just instantly stood out as an attacking, two-footed attacking midfielder who scored a lot of goals. He scored some beauties, especially in important games against Atletico Madrid and the El Clásico final, I think it was.
Was that his first season to come over to the academy from Real Betis, or maybe his first or second? He came over
first
young,
or second, definitely.
Yeah, he came over at a young age.
Yeah, he was very obviously. Young. Yeah, he was very young. But yeah, now he's... For me, his best position is left center midfield or right center midfield, like just that interior.
Yeah.
Interior. I mean, he's going to be a key player for Barca B next season. He's just going to go straight in the midfield. Not even a question. Today, there's been a rumor about Adria Bernabe from Manchester City, who might join the team as well. There's a bit of a... We don't know. He might join the team. Hopefully, he's a good talent, and he left at the same time as Eric Garcia. So it would be pretty funny if they both came back. Well, I think he did. Maybe it was a year after. But anyways, it would be pretty fun for both of them to come back to the club in the same summer. They're also great friends. But yeah, those two are gonna dominate the Barca B midfield next season. Hopefully. Lucas de Vega will also play and stay injury free. But yeah, the Barca B are once again going to have great midfielders next season that we can all look forward to see at the first team. It's quite absurd, actually, how many good midfielders are coming up and have been coming up to the first team. Like even without counting, no, but like yeah, I mean, Munchu even deserved some first team game last season. Mm-hmm. He's been doing decent at Girona and in next best league. But yeah, Gavi, he's going to be a treat. And I think that the moment that the first team coach sees him on a regular basis, he'll want him in trainings, and he'll give him a few minutes for the first team as well, because he's a breathtaking talent. He's definitely the most spectacular one. But yeah, another spectacular talent that we, on the other hand, expected as much from, but didn't get that much as Gavi this season, is Ilias Akhumach, who has been dubbed the next Messi, the Moroccan Messi, whatever. Yeah. I mean, even by the La Masia director, Patrick Kluivert, who was stupid enough to tell on national radio that he had just been given the La Masia directive job, and then he went on national radio and was like, "I have seen the next Messi."
Yeah,
and it didn't take long, and it didn't take long for journalists to find out that it was Ilias that he was talking about, whom at the time was at Cadet last season, and he was absolutely spectacular. He had had a couple of seasons where he had just exploded to become one of the most impressive talents in the academy, and this season he started out pretty well, and he played Barca B games as well. He got some cameos, but he has shown some inconsistencies that are completely normal at this age.
Yep, he's 16.
In terms of dribbling, he's 16. Yeah, and like compared to the players that they're playing against at under 19 level, but in terms of dribbling and in terms of work ethic, he's been superb. I mean, he's one of the best dribblers we've ever seen in La Masia. I mean, he takes on 3, 4, 5 players at once. He can easily do that. His main problem has unfortunately been his output, his efficiency in front of goal.
Yeah.
He needs to work on that, but you know, as soon as he works on that. I mean, Real Madrid fans have said that about Vinicius. I think in kind of the same situation for Ilias at Juvenil A this season, like an absolutely extraordinary player on the ball. Nobody can take the ball away from him. He can take on so many players, that'd be a great danger. But in front of goal, he's lacked a lot. And it's just not just a little bit. I mean, it's like whole games where he hasn't been able to become dangerous in the box. And with his qualities, he should be. Definitely should be. And as soon as he becomes that, he'll be very dangerous. Whether or not he'll be a regular B player next season, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure whether or not I should predict that he'll become a regular Barca B player. I think that he'll still be a registered Juvenil A player.
Yeah.
But hopefully he'll, I mean, it's definitely to be expected of him that he will become a regular throughout the season, and that we will see a lot more of him. Hopefully this is just a transition season for him, hopefully. I mean, we've seen so many talents have these. I mean, it's completely normal. Like, it's nothing to be especially worried about, but yeah, hopefully he'll continue to develop, and he has a very good relationship with the coach, Sergi Mila, so hopefully Mila will also stay, so we can see Ilias improve even more, and then there was
Alakan.
I think he's probably the one to mention.
Just because
Angel,
I can see him being with Barca B next year. Not, but still registered with the U19s. But I could see with Alakan making more appearances for Barca B than Comas, just because he just physically a little more ready for it. He's not necessarily. I don't know, Navi. I wouldn't say he's a clinical finisher, but he does so much as a forward. He's supportive to runs. Mm. He creates space. He gets in behind the defense. And he kind of does everything that a Barcelona forward is being asked to do. I mean, is that correct?
Yes, he does everything that is expected. I believe though that he was a lot more clinical in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
But no, he's definitely a player to be like that we can expect to see at Barca B next season. and who will hopefully also impress García Pimienta. His colleague in attack, Diego López, has actually been pretty very clinical. Actually, he's a bit of a like a bit of a he's a nine, like a 9-9.
Yeah,
Alarcón can also play as a nine, but López is nothing but a nine, and he's gotten some good numbers this 12. Season, and he'll be
12 goals, 12 goals for López. And remember, he also came over from Real Madrid 2 years ago.
And he had 2 years at Juvenil Bay actually, where he did pretty good. So this season was like he was just expected to be a regular at Juvenil A, and he's also showed that he can perform at that level. And I don't have like extremely high hopes for him next season, but he'll be a registered B player for sure. Angel will also play for Barça B. I'm sure of that, and probably more than Elias towards the beginning, but I hope that both of them will be regulars towards the end of the season and help them out. And then Diego Almeida, the center back, he's one of the best ball playing center backs we've seen in La Masia for a long time. He like just like Anautinas is crazy with his build up passes, like he never gives up and always plays the risky passes whenever needed. Diego Almeida does that as well. He breaks the lines all the time, and he started out pretty bad this season. He didn't play that much under Fran Artiga for whatever reason, but he has been playing a lot more under Sergi Mila, and has been very impressive. So, but this is also his first Juvenil A season. Last season he was also at Juvenil. I believe that he was promoted to Juvenil A, but he, if I remember correctly, he just didn't show the level. So he played more with Juvenil B, but he has developed very nicely, and we might see him at Barça B as well next season.
Yeah, and a reminder for Almeida is he's still just 16. Remember, too, that he's playing with Juvenil A for the U19s, and he's still just 16. And I agree with those points. And, the other four that impressed me, well, so Moussa Ndiaye, the 18-year-old Senegalese center back from the Aspire Academy, was supposed to be with Barcelona B, but he's had a pretty bad adjustment period, so he's played with Juvenil A, and that's been interesting to see that partnership in the latter half of the year. And then the other ones that have impressed me were Mico Juanola, Chus Alba, and Zacarias Gailan. So I've kind of wanted Gailan and Alba to succeed. Chus Alba I've liked for a long time, but again, there's so many midfielders. You can only have so much time and so many spots for all those midfielders. But the question I want to ask next before we go even younger, Navid, is you brought up Diego López with Juvenil A. 12 goals, again, coming over from Real Madrid 2 years ago, and really is a number nine, a classic actual number nine. And then there's Fabián Lucy, who also plays with Juvenil A, who was supposed to be the big 16-year-old arrival from Rayo Vallecano last summer, but for one reason or another, it just didn't take yet. You can blame most of the months of matches being canceled, and it takes a while to kind of get yourself figured out. And then, like Louis Barry, the other one who's now doing well with Aston Villa, but just never seemed to fit in Catalonia and left. So the question people always ask you, and they ask me, and we see it online, is that why doesn't, for all the midfielders that the academy produces, why is it that number nines, year in and year out, I know it's such a complicated question, Navid, but I mean, Diego López, again, he's not truly even fully from the academy because he was taken from Real Madrid as what was he, 16 when he came. Right, so I mean, it's just the strikers just it doesn't happen.
Yeah, they tend to have issues whenever they actually not usually at under 19 level. I think Lucy is a, as you say, he's in a transitional year for him. He's adapting, and I think that he'll be a good player for Juvenil A next season, a more mature and regular player, I think. But yeah, there is just something. There's been a lot of different theories as to why. One of them might be that the first team, that there's never any real room at the first team to just, obviously we've had Luis Suarez and Leo Messi occupying those spots for the last 11 years, 12 years, and then Samuel Eto'o. You know, I mean, it's not a good single position for a youth player to come up, and usually it's completely normal for the first team to sign these superstar nines. But at the same time, like, questions has to be asked. Like, the question has to be asked. I think that the way that we develop players at La Masia is not good for nines who want to be like world-class number nines mm-hmm. in Europe, because those nines tend to have like an individualistic edge, if that makes sense. I don't know mm-hmm. how to define it, but we don't see that often whenever these nines go to senior level. We saw it briefly with Munir El Haddadi in 2014, when he came through Barca B and the first team and did well, but he stopped as well. Like he just stopped right in his tracks, and then Suarez came in and ended his run of first team games. But yeah, we see like this, like there's a mental thing. Like, I mean, the way that they're just developed is not, it's not the way that, that nines are developed elsewhere in Europe, where they are the main stars and the focal points of the youth teams. They're not in La Masia. I mean, those are the midfielders mm-hmm. and like even to some extent the center backs. We saw Mauro Icardi, for example. I mean, he's one of these nines that have been successful in Europe, but he came from Barcelona. He was a La Masia talent. Joined when he was like 15 or something, 14, 15, 16 maybe even. But he was a Junil A player and he did very, very well. Mm-hmm. Of course, he should continue according to the club. But personally, he didn't like the surroundings. He didn't like being a striker at La Masia, and he said this. And his testament is very telling for nines in the Barcelona Academy. Mm-hmm. You're not the focal point, and if you want to be like a nine with edge, he went to Sampdoria, where surroundings are completely different. I mean, he came in, he was a star for their youth teams, and he went up with the first team and did well, and continued to have a great career in Italy and now in PSG. So it's very difficult, and there's a pretty good reason. I think the reason is methodologically, it's not, La Masia is not the place where nines are developed the way that other nines are developed in Europe. And of course that maybe this should even be a good thing. Like, why should nines be more team players and like develop methodologically in a different way? Maybe it's just a methodological loss, the other side of the methodological coin that we see. Like, we have so many good midfielders, so many good defenders, so many good goalkeepers, because that the game is developing the way that, like, the game is developing to an extent where the goalkeepers have, I mean, it has developed, of course, that the goalkeepers have to be well good with their feet, and now we see one promising goalkeeper after the other come through the academy.
Yeah.
But with strikers, it's just not the same. It's just not the same, and we've seen it. I think that's not a short answer. But.
No. I think even the last season, last summer, where the club chose to, in the Trincao deal, ship Alvaro Ruiz the other way. And even, you know, last February, Martin Brathwaite had to come instead of Alvaro Ruiz getting promoted, because even Alvaro Ruiz was, I mean, for my measure, other than Munir, the probably most promising striker or forward, if you will, in the academy, even though he struggled at Barca B level. But yeah, he was the most promising in the academy for the last 10 seasons. But Alvaro Ruiz obviously goes to Braga and is now looking better. But even he, who is seemingly always the next big thing as a striker, he's had to be a professional as a left winger, as a center forward. So even those number nines at Barcelona's in the academy have to be wingers, have to be forwards. But all right, nevertheless, Navid, let's finish this with basically.
But there are some good ones coming up. There are some good ones.
Yeah.
There are always some good nines coming up, and we hope that they can break the curse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need opportunities, and opportunities for nines becomes the biggest thing. It's confidence. It's putting the ball in the back of the net. So speaking of opportunities.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, goals. And Abel didn't get those goals. I mean, and he had the perfect coach for him. I mean, he had like Garcia Pimienta had him at Trouville as well, where he had the same issues, and he worked with him every single day for so many years, and it just didn't work. I mean, he didn't score the goals neither. I mean, it's just goals, actually, and mm-hmm. the mental. I mean, it's just, it's a very, like, single issue of the academy is, like that isn't just a coincidence. It's not just a coincidence.
Yeah.
I think that in other areas, like our right-back situation is definitely a coincidence because we're developing so many good left-backs, but no right-backs. That's very odd, but I think that's just like purely coincidental. I mean, the ninth thing is, I think it's there's some very good reasons for that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there are generations of different talents at different spots, and the left back, right back situation is certainly like that. So the final place I think to end the show is because we've been talking about Juvenal A and up. So, and most of the players we've been speaking about, even the most promising ones, were 16 and older, meaning they're just about, again, they're old enough to have that first contract, but not yet 18 to sign a professional contract. But 16 is basically where they're going to start to be playing Barca B, which is next season within the new third tier going to be a professional football. So Gabi is in theory played professional football and the like. So that's what we spoke about them. All the younger players and down. So now I'm basically going to do a name dump here, Navid. And then I'll give you a moment to kind of take in some of the names I said. You don't have to respond to each of these. I just want to kind of give you a name dump, and then if there are ones that you want to throw in too. So this is all the way down to, I start with the Infantil A and Cadet B level, Lamine Yamal. From Cadet A, we have Igor Bravo and Jorge Javier Espinal. There again, Cadet A. Alex Garrido is a midfielder for Juvenal B who's impressed me. Sergio Dominguez is a Cadet A center back. I saw bounce back years with Juvenal B from both Fermin Lopez, who was all about size for him, and Jorge Alastui, who was all about injury for him. And then Hugo Alba and Arnau Pradas with Cadet B. And then I also have to shout out potential American midfielder Adrian Simons-Gil with Cadet B, and also Wesley Duol with Cadet B. So that was a bit of a name dump from Juvenal, from Infantil A with Lamine Yamal all the way up to the Juvenal B level with Alastui and Fermin Lopez and Garrido. So yeah, those are just some of the players that impressed me. So Navid, I don't know how you want to do this. If you get a double check mark. So if you repeat their name, it means that they've got a full endorsement here on the Barcelona podcast, or if there's other names that you want to say. So yeah, I kind of want to give you room in the final answer to, again, we never want to hype these kids. That's the important thing here. We don't want to overhype players of this age, because if they're 13, 14, 15, even some of them 16 or 17, but they're not ready yet. So that is that like Juvenal B and down is like, we really don't know. They might even not even be professional someday, but they haven't pressed me at their age group. And that's what I'm referencing.
Mm. Okay. So let's start one for your American listeners. Adrian Simons.
There you go.
He's for his age, he looks very complete. He can do pretty much everything in midfield for his age. He's gonna be next season at Cadet A. He'll be like one of the, I think that he'll be like one of the players that are prioritized in their professional contracts. He has to be tied up. He's a good talent, definitely. In his team, Arnau Pradas is he's special. I mean, he's got. Like his numbers are very, very good for his age. I mean, he has at least a goal or assist per game, I believe. He became famous in the La Liga promises, where he became the MVP of the tournament. Back then he played as a left winger. Now he plays mostly as a right winger. Just technically absolutely brilliant. He'll be good to follow. A right winger to have hopes on if Elias doesn't make it. And then, so just the team built from below. Lamine is definitely perhaps my favorite. Yeah, might be my favorite La Masia player. He's a center forward, but he can play. I mean, he can play anywhere because he's just very superior at infantile A level. He should be playing regularly with the cadet B. I think he's way too good. I mean, technically, he's a trickster. He loves doing his tricks, but he's not an individualist or something like that. He makes these tricks, but he creates so many chances every game. Very creative player. I love watching him. I've seen him live a couple of times as well when he was an F7 player, when he played 7-a-side. He was very good back then as well.
And a reminder too on the mean that he's only 13 or 14. So again, this is the Barcelona podcast. We're used to talking about Messi, but that's a name that I put in the back of your head for 5-6 years from now, even. He's that young. But yes, he's been that good. Every week on the Twitch stream, when we're going through the top five academy goals, Lamine basically every other week pops up as one of the top five academy goals every. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And then like the main worry for these 13-year-olds isn't that they're going to be good footballers. I mean, technically they're going to be great footballers, definitely. But the thing about them is whether or not they'll be good professionals. And I hope that Lamine will become a great professional, because he has all the talent in the world. Another one from his age group that has all the talent in the world and who is playing regularly at Cadet B and who is actually capable of playing right back as well, is Landry Faré. He was so physically and technically superior at 7-a-side level that they just played him at left wing back, even though that he's actually a center back, natural center back, but they just put him there and that he could do whatever he wanted defensively and attackingly, and he just did whatever he wanted. He was a cheat code, absolute cheat code. Both him and Lamine were cheat code on that team. They were like ridiculous to watch. He's doing great at Cadet B. I mean, he's two-footed defender who can play. I mean, even last season he played with. He played with the cadet B as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he did well. I mean, he's like physically very impressive. But it could be fun to see him at right back, because we need some right back talents. Mm-hmm. And he'll next season he'll play with cadet A, and he'll probably be the most important player to renew on that team, together mm-hmm. with Arnau Prades, I think. He's got a great goal earlier this season if you just search for him. I mean, just cutting inside and shooting with his left from outside the box, near post, great goal. He's definitely one to follow. But going up at Cadet A, the most promising player is probably their striker, Iker Bravo.
Yep.
And he looks like one of those like edgy strikers. And I don't want to get my hopes too high, because as we've talked about, like there is an issue with strikers in La Masia. But he's someone who is just dominating so much and looks mentally very strong. He also works very hard defensively. He's a great teammate as well. And he has some edge to him. He reminds me a bit of Pablo Moreno, who was also like one of these kinds of strikers that we had hoped would break the curse. Then he went to Juventus, and now he's at Girona on loan from Manchester City. I thought that he would like turn into like a much better player than he has so far. Iker is a great player. I think that he'll be. I wouldn't be surprised if he was promoted straight to Junal A mm-hmm. next season. But Lucci is going to play a lot, hopefully. So I'm not sure if maybe Junal B would be better for his development, for the sake of his development. And then for Junal B, actually, they've been one of the best La Masia teams this season, went undefeated in the league. Jorge Alasue, who was injured for more than a year, he came back and he's like thankfully injury free this season. And he should have been with Juvenile. I mean, if he hadn't been injured, he would have been with Juvenile like two seasons ago easily. But maybe not 1.5 years ago he would have been. But yeah, now he's been playing a year, like a comeback year. Like literally the entire point of his season was to stay injury free and gain high level again, fitness level again. But at the same time, he has been absolutely crucial for them, and he's led their midfield. He's a natural leader. He's scored quite a few goals. I really, really like him. Like he looks like a great kid. I hope that his injury it hasn't affected him that too much. I mean, it definitely has. I mean, it's like a tragic story, actually. He was like he kicked Xavi Simons out of the team back in the day. Like he was that good. And like Xavi Simons, of course, he ended up not being as good for his teams in his last couple of seasons before going to PSG. But in those seasons, Jorge Alasue was signed from Zaragoza, I think, and he immediately took over. But yeah, we'll see next season where his level is actually at, at the highest level in at under 19 level in Spain. He's gonna lead the Juvenile midfield for next season.
Yeah, the partnership between Alastui and Chus Alba was, maybe the best in, maybe the best in the academies. But yeah, so it was weird to me to see them on different teams this year. But as you mentioned, Juvenile A is in second place in their division, and yet Juvenile B ran away with it. And I think Jorge Alastui basically playing one level down to recover is a big part of that. And then same thing with Fermín López. He would technically be with Juvenile A, but as we've spoken about before, he just didn't grow physically the way we expected him to. Yeah. But I mean, there was a bit of a bounce back year from him. And finally, his body started to catch up with what his feet could do this year. But he had to do that and stay with Juvenile Bay for that to happen.
Yeah, and it's a bit like Riqui Puig, actually. Fermín's situation is like similar to like a replicate of Riqui Puig. Very talented, probably less talented, maybe. I don't think we're going to... Honestly, I didn't think that Riqui would make it this far when he was at Juvenile B because he was like degraded to another season at Juvenile B, and I was pretty worried for him. Same has happened for Fermín now, but his talent is unquestionable, and I just love the fact that there are still false nines in La Masia. Mm-hmm. So question is whether or not he'll play at false nine at Juvenile A. Riqui was converted to a midfielder, but I love watching Fermín. I think that maybe he's even going to be a left winger. But I absolutely love to watch him. He's like personally, without thinking like future projection or whatever, I prefer him over anybody else. Lamine is a close second. But yeah, Fermín is great as well, and I think. Yeah, the first team, the Juvenile A, they're going to end second probably. But we also have to remember it's one of the youngest Juvenile A sides in like many, many years.
Right.
A lot of first year juveniles, that means like they're 16-year-olds. And we saw it in the first game they had against Espanyol this season when they played against them away. It was like watching a youth team against a senior team. Like there was such a big difference in terms of physique. They lost both the games against Espanyol this season and it's going to lose the title to them. And it's not the end of the world. I mean, this is a very young team. And next season, I think that Juvenile A will be very, very strong. They're getting a strong Juvenile B side to complement the current Juvenile A 16-year-olds, except for Gavi, who will be like an instant Barca B player.
Yeah.
But there is some uncertainty about Juvenile A, actually, like who's going to be the coach. I mean, maybe we can talk about that at another time. But yeah, there are some talks about Rafael Márquez, that he'll get Sergi Milá's job. Yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame because Sergi Milá is such a great coach. He's actually the best in the youth categories, I would say. So they better not like let him go. I mean, he has to stay in some way. But Secondly, it might be there. Rafa Márquez might be their García Pimienta replacement, and it just makes me sad just to think about to shape the future first team players. But yeah, next season is going to be very interesting. And you mentioned a lot of other players. One of them, and I think we should mention some goalkeepers, at least one, and he's the Cadet A goalkeeper. Ander Astralaga. He's their backup goalkeeper, but he's also pretty good. But their first goalkeeper, Aaron Alonso, together with Sergio Dominguez, centre-back, Nico Takahashi, left-back, and Iker Bravo, and Jorge Espinal, left-winger. They all got their Spain under-16, first youth call for Spain. They're on the under-16. And yeah, all four or five, they're all... the best Cadet A players, and they're going to be very important for Junel B or Junel A next season. But Aaron Alonso, he looks like another one of those kids who's like their mentality is just top from the start. And I think that he'll be perhaps even he'll go straight up to Junel A, because Junel B, maybe Ramon Villa will stay at Juvenil A if possible. I'm not sure, but yeah, he's a good goalkeeper to keep an eye out for. But Nico Takahashi, the left back, and also Adnan Aznu, I think his name is from Infantil A, I believe. He's someone who's broken through, and like he, another very talented left back. I mean, we have so many. There's a great forward at Infantil B as well, but let's save him for next year.
Agreed. Yeah, Navid, I need more content to talk to you. The more I can talk to you, but again, we need to save some names and save some players. So yeah, I also want to someday have that big discussion about the brain drain, about what it is for whether it's Man City or the UAE or the. Just that the number of youth coaches that are called away, that are signed away, and what that does to the academy. And that's a conversation and philosophy for another time, because right now, Navid, I think you've given us more than enough to think about. So I will again want to say, as always, we're going to have in the show notes, make sure you follow Navid on Twitter for all of your La Masia stuff, as well as being one of the representatives of the Young Kool-Aid, which is, I think, it's not hard to argue that on social media, it's maybe the most important youth account or La Masia account that exists on Twitter, I would argue. So Navid, as always, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the kind words and for the appearance. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, and you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. For me at Hilton D13, Close Facebook Group, the Barcelona Podcast, and Ask Those Questions. Patreon, it's how we keep making these shows. We're on YouTube as well with those match reviews. And with this show that Navid and I do, you know that there's also a specialty, you know, breaking down the next breakout stars of La Masia video coming. So that's the Barcelona Podcast on YouTube. But most importantly, thanks so much for listening to the Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Reports of Barca.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.